to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, How Does the Story of Abraham Sacrificing His Son Isaac on the Altar, How Does That Foreshadow Jesus Christ? And I want to ask, why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac?
Grace to you and peace from the God of Abraham whom we praise, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we're starting a new sermon series on Christ in the Old Testament. Is he there? Of course, the whole New Testament we know is all about Jesus, right? That's all it talks about. Pretty much. How about the Old Testament? Well, Martin Luther once said, if you even tear one page out of the Old Testament scriptures, it will bleed Christ. I believe, and all Christians should believe, that Christ is everywhere in the Old Testament. Where can we find him in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, the days before the days of the New Testament? Well, we can find him in three places in particular. One of them is the ancient prophecies, which we looked at a sermon series in December. We looked at all the prophecies that spoke very clearly of his coming and exactly what he was going to do for us, thereby God proving to us that when he came, this is the one, because he fulfilled them all. Another place you can look, the second one in the Old Testament to find Christ, is in his appearances. Did you know that God, the Son, actually appeared to us in human form at times in the Old Testament, to the patriarchs? Remember Moses in Exodus chapter 3? The angel of the Lord appears in the burning bush. And what's the angel of the Lord say? He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Put off the shoes from your feet, for the place upon which you stand is holy ground. He also appeared to Joshua on the road to Jericho, saying the same things, take off the shoes from your feet. And Joshua worshipped him. And Jacob, in the night, wrestled mysteriously with a man in the dark. And in the morning, he says, I've seen God face to face and lived. So that was Genesis chapter 32. So you can see him in the prophecies. You can see him in his appearances as the pre-incarnate Son of God. But the next one is that he not only appeared to the patriarchs, but this is the one we're basing this sermon series on, is he actually appeared in the patriarchs, in that their stories and their character was ultimately a foreshadowing of what he would do in a far greater way for us, for our salvation. And so you can actually look at the Old Testament sort of like a little model of a greater reality. When I was a little boy, I had a, of course, loving ships and war and World War II types of things. I had a little battleship Massachusetts snap-together model, about this big. Looked just like the battleship Massachusetts. Its little turrets even moved. But certainly, it only looked like the battleship Massachusetts in Fall River, Massachusetts, where it is to this day. But it served as a little model of a greater reality. And in the same way, the Old Testament stories in the patriarchs, in the Old Testament saints, a lot of times are a small model of a greater reality, which was to come in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at those stories over this period of Lent, and today I'd like to look at one in particular, one of my favorites, if not the favorite, the story of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac upon the mountain. And so let's turn there now in Genesis chapter 22, to refresh ourselves as to what happens here. If you remember, this is Abraham's promised son. He'd waited 25 plus years for God to fulfill that promise of the coming of Isaac. And Abraham loved his son. Now, I want to ask you this question. Could you do this if God tested you in this way with your children? Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And God said to him, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Imagine how he felt at that command. Obviously, a test is a test. It's not just simply an easy thing. God gave him something very hard to do. Then it says in verse 3, So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his young man with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose, went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, the mountain, that is. Then Abraham said to the young man, Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go up to yonder mountain and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. Just imagine yourselves in the same kind of a test with your children. Wow, could you do it? So they both of them went on together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself of the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Number of years ago, 1995, I was in Cape Breton Island in the Canadian Maritimes off of one of my ships. I remember walking up a country road by the Inner Harbor with a Jewish girl. She was a volunteer sailor off the ship. And I was trying to bring her to Christ, trying to bring her to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and believe on him. But she'd been raised as a Jewish girl. She was not a believer. Not really even a faithful Jew, and she had said to me, I can't believe in that sort of thing because the Old Testament's full of things I just can't understand that are offensive to me. And you know the one passage she mentioned? Was this very one right here. She said, How could God command Abraham to do such a cruel thing as to offer up his son Isaac upon the altar? And I was kind of new in the faith at the time, and I said, I don't know. What would you say? Would you say, I don't know? Well, I'll tell you something I know today, after having looked at this for more years in the past, and it is so plain, blaringly obvious to me why God was doing this, as it should not be a mystery to any one of you why he did this. For why did God have this test? Why didn't he say, Abraham, I'm going to test you, swim across the Dead Sea, see if you can survive the salt. Or go fast for 40 days in the wilderness, don't eat food or water. I'll test you this way. Why did he choose this test? Well, I'll tell you, it's because Christ is in the Old Testament. God set up and orchestrated a very carefully planned drama to be a drama of a greater drama that was to take place where God would sacrifice his only son for the salvation of the world. So you can look at this passage in the Old Testament as well as the other ones, and more, that we'll look at in Lent, as sort of like when you go to the movies, you see a preview of coming attractions, right? Well, this is a preview from God of a coming attraction, which is what the great work of salvation which God would do through his son Jesus. And let me explain that. Why do I look at this passage as a carefully orchestrated thing by God to speak of the greater drama of your salvation? Well, obviously, this is a story carefully commanded by God, saying, this is the test, this is where you're going to go, this is what you're going to do. God had it carefully in mind. And what was this test? What was the whole scene? It is the scene of a father going up with his son, his only son, onto a mountain to sacrifice him. I don't know. Sound familiar to you? I think I heard that before. That's the whole New Testament, right? This is the story of God's salvation. As it says, Abraham, here am I. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him up there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I'll show you. And we know that Jesus Christ, as it says in John chapter 5, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you notice how the scriptures emphasize this, saying, Abraham, take your son, your only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering. This is a pre-drama God is setting up ahead of time, 2,000 years before it takes place, to show you a picture of exactly what he's going to do for your salvation. A second thing we see here is that he not only took his only son, but to sacrifice him. Could you do that? A test where it is the greatest of all tests. But God chose it not only because it was a great test, but because it was what he was going to do to his son upon a similar mountain. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so a sacrifice to this Jewish girl that I knew in Cape Breton, Canada, is that a horrible and a cruel thing? Well, it is a dreadful thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's a necessary thing. Hebrews 9 says, if there's no shedding of blood, you're history. You're toast. You're going to hell. Because it's only through the shedding of blood that there can be a forgiveness of sins. You, for your sins, deserve death. Therefore, Christ, in love for you, had to die to receive your penalty that you might be set free. Here's another one. The father's willingness to accomplish this task. Yeah, how would it be if you were asked this, to do this test? Would you mull it over, talk it over with God, maybe debate a little while, put it off, say, okay, in about a year I think we can do it after we celebrate another birthday or so. But what's it say in verse 3 of Genesis 22? Abraham rose early in the morning. Immediate, quick obedience, because he'd learned faith over the years, waiting upon God's promise of Isaac. He saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Do you see any delay here in his action? The father here is willing to do it. Did it pain his heart? Did it tear his heart out? Did he say, I cannot do this thing, some part of himself? Of course. That's why it's called a test. But you also see his incredible, immeasurable willingness to do it. And I want to tell you today, when God took his son upon that great mountain to sacrifice him for your salvation, do you think it broke his heart? You think that was difficult for him? Was it almost a test of his love? Yes, but do you see his willingness to do it? He didn't delay at all. He did it because he loves you. For God so loved the world, loved you, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Therefore it says in Malachi 3, behold, I send my messenger before me to prepare the way, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. He rose early in the morning. Jesus, at the appropriate time, in the fullness of time, God did not delay in taking his son up that mountain for your sakes. Another thing we see here in this passage is the willingness of the son. Think about how Isaac went. I mean, if I'm going up the mountain and my dad's going to kill me, I'd be like squirming. I'm out of here. This is not good. You're kidding. You just said there was going to be a lamb for the burnt offering. Well, Abraham prophesied there would be a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide it. The lamb is you. the Lamb is the Son, according to Abraham the Father. And who's the Lamb of God? Obviously, Jesus, the Son of God. As it says, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But notice how Isaac went up the mountain. He didn't go complaining or squirming or trying to get away. He just asked innocently, he says, "My father, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering of the son. And they both of them went up together. Just imagine, God is actually letting you look more deeply, not only into Abraham and Isaac, but into his relationship with Jesus. Things that the Gospels don't even tell you. That the Father and the Son willingly walked up that mountain together, up there for you. And then it says, they both went on together. When they came to the place, Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Was there a struggle? No, Dad. No. All you hear here is simple obedience, trust in his father, and I'm sure faith. Trusting that Abraham, his father, knew what he was doing. And so also it was with the son. As it says in Isaiah 53 of him, prophesying, Jesus was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, of course, it was difficult for Isaac, right? I'm sure. But he did it. And it was difficult for Jesus, but he did it. As it says in Luke 22, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had sweat, like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground for what he had to do for you. And yet he says, "Father, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You see God's drama here? A preview of a coming attraction? Here's a greater detail. What did Isaac carry up the mountain? You tell me. What? Wood. Wood? He carried wood up the mountain. Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire and the knife, and both went up together. He laid wood upon his son, upon which he was to be sacrificed, that the son himself had to carry up the mountain in order to be sacrificed upon. Does that sound familiar to you? You ever hear that before? Do you see how God is orchestrating this event to confirm your faith so that when it does come to pass, you can be sure this is the Son of God? This is what God's doing. As it says in John 19, verse 17. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross, bearing his own wood upon his back, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. That is the place of a skull. Here's something else you can get today of encouragement for your faith that you are, through faith, reconciled to God. It says, Abraham put forth his hand to slay his son, took the knife, raised it up, glittered in the sun, was ready to strike. And God says, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Do not put your hand upon the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. What can you learn from that? What's God teaching you about your salvation? He's teaching you that there is going to be a substitute for you to save your life. A substitute atonement. Someone's going to die on that mountain. And in a sense, Isaac was sacrificed because Abraham was willing to do it. God accepted that sacrifice of his faith, but he stayed his hand, said, "Don't do that. Here, I'm going to offer a ram in the place of that of your son." In the same way, God spared your life. You know that? This word "instead of his son" is the word in Hebrew "tachath." Can you say that? Tachath. All right, that's the way I pronounce it. Anyway, I have to talk with some of the patriarchs if I'm saying that right. But that means instead of. You're supposed to die for your sin. for your sins. You're supposed to be slain, sacrificed for your transgressions against God. He's a holy God. You should die for them. But God has offered up a ram, that is, a lamb, instead of, tachat, instead of you. So you might be saved and reconciled to God and come down from the mountain alive. And actually, that's what Abraham said without knowing it. The Lord will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. And John the Baptist says in the New Testament, behold, of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Praise be to the Lord, what he's done for us. Jesus to die instead of us for our salvation, which we receive through faith in him. Did you know that also, one more here, that there is the resurrection in the story? That God even put that in here? A resurrection? Did you see a resurrection? It says here that Abraham went up the mountain saying to the young men, stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we, that's plural, I looked it up in the Hebrew, we will come again to you. Was Abraham lying? Was he trying to cover his tracks? Say, hey men, you know, let me go, we're going to come back to you, but really it's just going to be me. Is that what Abraham's faith was? It wasn't. Abraham believed even if I slay my son, God can raise him up again, and I can prove that to you, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, which speaks of this very thing. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up his son Isaac. And he who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your descendants be named. He considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead. Hence, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. It says here, he believed in the resurrection. If I slay my son, how can the promises be fulfilled that all descendants, I'll have stars, descendants like the stars through him. If I slay him, God's able to raise him up again. That was Abraham's faith. And so you see here the promise of the resurrection. And when God the Father brought his son up to the altar on that mountain to slay him, God also knew he would be raised. And yes, oh young men, we'll come back down the mountain together. We're going up together. I'm going to slay him. Boy, though, we're coming down together from this mountain. My son will be raised and then exalted to my right hand forever and ever. We see all this in this one story of the Old Testament, not to mention the faith which Abraham had, by which he was justified. But do you think I'm just spinning, you know, putting a spin on this, as I say, in Fox News and all that stuff? What's your spin today? Am I just reading too much into this story? Am I trying with a Christian outlook to look at everything and see Christ in it? Is it going too far? Well, let me see. I've saved one silver bullet for you, just in case there's any doubts left in you. You ready for this one? Where was it that God orchestrated, commanded, and prepared this drama to take place 2,000 years before Christ came? He said, Abraham, here am I. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Where is the land of Moriah? Obviously, it's a three-day journey from Beersheba, 45 to 50 miles away. And Beersheba, we know, is down southern Judah, about halfway down the Dead Sea area. But we can find out where Moriah is, actually. There's one other reference to it in the whole of the New Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon, David's son, began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Where is Moriah, my friends? Jerusalem and the hills surrounding it. And so God, 2,000 years ahead of time, said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, and take him up to offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I shall show you in the land of Moriah, the land of Jerusalem. A hill, perhaps the one right outside of Jerusalem, where I myself one day will take my son up that mountain, him bearing his own cross his own wood upon his back. And there I'll sacrifice him for the sins of the whole world and raise him from the dead on the third day. Do you think this is just chance? That God actually chose the exact same mountain, had the exact same drama, all played out in the Father of the faith for your salvation and confidence. And therefore it says in Genesis 22:14, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide? The Lord has provided, right? As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. After this, people were saying, on that mountain, it shall be provided. It what shall be provided? The Lamb, the salvation, the Messiah, the Savior shall be provided on that mount on a day to come. So what do I take away from this? We're going to conclude with three things I'm going to take away from this story today. What's all this mean for me today? One thing it means to me personally, and I hope to you too, is that you've got not just a salvation that's slipshod, thrown together at the last minute, quick way to save you. You have a salvation well prepared for God by God, long in advance. He's had you in mind from the foundation of the world. He prepared this thing 2,000 years ahead of time and way beyond that, but gave you this preview of a coming attraction 2,000 years ahead of time, so when it does come to pass, you may be sure that this is the one. And as David says in 2 Samuel 23, yea, does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Your salvation in Christ is ordered in all things and secure. A second thing it teaches me is, boy, can I have confidence that God accepted this sacrifice of his son. God accepted Abraham's sacrifice of his son. God then also accepted the sacrifice of his son for the sins of the world, to die in your place, to be that lamb that Abraham said will be provided on the mount. I tell you, in truth, I'm not just talking stories up here. The lamb really, in history, has been provided for you. And so you can have a confidence through faith in Jesus that your sins are forgiven, you're reconciled with God, and you also will come down from that mountain of your grave one day. You will come down from that mountain together with the Lord, resurrected according to Jesus' promise in John chapter 6. All that the Father will gives me will come to me. Him who comes to me I will not cast out. And he who believes in me I will raise up at the last day. And then the last thing that this says to me, well, not the last, but just so that we can continue the service, the last for right now, is this. And I just love this. It just so speaks to me. I hope it speaks to you. Genesis 22, verse 10. Abraham put forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, here. And he said, here am I. Do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him. For, and watch this, now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. You know what that says to me? I can say now, when I'm doubting and wondering whether God loves me, I can say, now, Father, I know that you love me, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God proved his love to us in doing that. And therefore, I conclude saying, what then shall I say to this? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Abraham and Isaac, God the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise be to our Lord and the Lamb that was slain. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Does the Story of Abraham Sacrificing His Son Isaac on the Altar Foreshadow Jesus Christ?